is Charles Gallant, user experience designer and, let's say, paper magician.
Ooh, all right. He is Aubrey Goodman, front end maestro, developer extraordinaire, and owner of Fine Socks.
That's probably not really true, actually. And this is a lovely little show that we love to call Distilled. Welcome. You can find us either in a tenderloin...
Hot pocket.
Hot pocket.
In a tenderloin hot pocket.
And that really doesn't mean anything close to what you like to think it does. Or you can sensibly find us on iTunes, distilledradio.com, or on Twitter, at distilledradio. Should you want to contact either of us to complain, let's not have any of that, or to send us a bourbon, which we like, or just to congratulate us on our magical and terrible ad lib ability, at least today, you can find Charles at Charles Gallant, that's two L's, or you can find me at Aubrey Goodman. There are no L's in my name. Yeah, and this is our second episode of this season, and I'm still continue to be very happy to have Charles here.
Oh, thank you.
And now that you've said at least like 90 words, from last time. No, we've been just kind of cowboying this thing for at least 15 minutes now. No, a good long times. Two years now is the duration of the show, and we'd like to really kind of get back into that. We did some great stuff last week. Hope you enjoyed that show, all three of you. Four. No, I forgot we had another follower. And this week, kind of an interesting topic. We're going to talk about snail farming. I think riveting. Mm-hmm. Or no, not really.
Well, let's get real. Snail farming is something that affects us all and will only continue to grow in the future.
Yeah. No, this is these days you hear a lot about drones. We've been hearing about I guess the latest craze is the selfie drone, where you put a GoPro on your little quad rotor helicopter that you bought at Best Buy, and you go out to the wherever you go, and you instead of putting a GoPro on a stick like a sensible person, you decide you're going to do that shit with a camera and a phone and whatever. So you're going to have your drone out there taking photos of you and your friends, hopefully not over a cliff. You are hopefully not over the cliff. The drone may be. Yeah. That's what drones can do.
Yeah, you need that extra camera angle, right? That unattainable thing that a stick just can't give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But should you be operating one of those in someone's backyard and they don't like you, they have now apparently there are some anti-drone drones that you can not buy yet, but they're in development and soon to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain magic in the very cowboy nature of this conversation.
Well, here's
and topic really more the topic.
Well, yeah, I mean, before we get into that, it's worth making a differentiation between the types of drones. I think when a lot of people hear drones, they still think of scary thing that the military uses to drop bombs. But then there's also
predator missile carrying.
Yeah, but then there's also like little thing with four propellers that like nerds use to do other things. And there's
like
so much
pizza.
Yeah,
or tacos. No, it was tacos. Taco copter.
Yeah, I heard about a burrito thing at one point, but I guess the point is there's a lot of gray area. Well, there's kind of not, there's not a lot of gray area between them, right? I'm sure there's tons of hobbyists who would disagree, but, for the most part, you've got, again, something you can buy at Best Buy right now, and then you've got, like, a deadly thing that flies over places that we should never be flying over. So, I don't know. I really feel like when people are scared about drones and, they hear the word drone and they think terrorists and they think invasion of privacy and they think all this stuff. all that is fueled by the military version of that word and by, you know, all of those ideas. When in fact, you know, people have had RC helicopters for a while. There's really nothing different other than the performance of the damn thing.
Well, I mean, there are some differences, I'd say, having had quite a lot of experience designing these things, both on the military side and on the civilian side.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and it's... the things that they can do now that those RC helicopters cannot do, maybe they can do a little better now, but, you know, for the longest time, helicopters really took a lot of manual dexterity, hand-eye coordination. There's only, you know, there's something that the hobby pilots will call flying nose in, and that means, like, with the nose of the helicopter pointed at you. So all the controls are backwards.
Right.
And so that's kind of a hard thing to do. And there's a lot of folks that are, you know, really proud of being able to do that. And it's an impressive feat. I have tried and they always crash. And then I always end up repairing. And yeah, I spend like 90% of the time, like being sad and waiting for glue to set, and not so much, watching whatever I might be able to watch. Should I ever bother to go buy a camera for the helicopter? Yeah. But these days you could just buy it on Amazon and they ship it to you. And eventually they'll ship it to you with a drone. And so that's like drones carrying drones that are then being attacked by other drones. And so it's pretty much just drones all the way down or up, I guess. I don't really know where they're coming from.
Yeah. But I guess the point you're making is there used to be discipline in the art of piloting this thing. And there used to be a lot of like a high bar, right, that you have to sort of climb up and overcome in order to... be a pilot of this. Now that anyone can fly these things around, you know, it's raising all these extra questions.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with, you know, like the ability to do things like altitude hold and position hold in a 10 knot wind, you know, you have the ability to just say, sit there and look that way and don't move.
And how long do you get out of like, I'm assuming you know this, you know lots of stuff. Do you know how long you get out of like your average... let's call it a Best Buy drone battery life. Like if you really wanted it to like camp out outside somebody's house and just stare, like how long would you get? Would you get 15 minutes? Would you get 3 hours? Like what does that battery give you?
You know, it really depends on the battery and the payload. And, typically on the order of like the $500 drones, they'll get maybe half an hour of flight time, depending on, you know, if you have the big battery on your GoPro or, you know, if you're, I don't know, just things like that.
Yeah.
The bigger the drone, in terms of area, like rotor area, the, longer it can stay in the air. Generally speaking, in terms of like per unit weight,
right.
I know that the bigger rotors weigh more. So there's kind of like a competing species problem there, but, typically the larger it is, the longer it can stay in the air.
Right. Right.
And, but that's, you know, again, it's, if you get up to the $10,000 drones, they're going to be able to stay in the air a few hours. You know, we designed some that had the ability to do, loitering for 4 hours.
Loitering.
Yeah. And that's not like, that's the official term for
that's
it. Really.
Great.
They don't call it, you know, like hovering or waiting or observing time. They call it loitering time. So,
they call it the word that everyone uses as like, it's like illegal waiting around.
Yeah.
Right?
Although it's not even necessarily illegally waiting around. It's just being an asshole, taking up a seat in a coffee shop.
Yeah, but nobody ever uses the word loitering as like something that you shouldn't be doing, right?
Yeah, yeah. You should be loitering right now.
Yeah. And just go on and loiter. You're fine.
Yeah, you're good.
No. But so
go ahead and loiter in that bus lane over there.
So what actually was like, am I allowed to ask even what the job was that you worked on?
You can ask whatever you want. Yeah. I may not answer.
No, yeah.
No.
What's your drone background? Where's all this coming from?
Yeah, so I didn't actually work on anything classified in the drone space. Most of the work that I did with the kind of technology we're talking about was in sort of an academic setting. So building test fixtures for flight tests, hover tests. That kind of stuff.
Cool. And these are quadcopters that we're talking about.
Well, the ones we were working on were, not, they were coaxial.
Okay.
Rotors. So two rotors spinning on the same axis with essentially a pipe inside of another pipe.
All right.
And then some complicated linkages and motors underneath that and blades above that.
Cool.
But the takeoff weights that we were working with were in the 100 gram range. So we had, you know, a 30-minute hover time with a Bluetooth camera and, you know, a tiny battery. And that was it.
Why?
30 minutes is kind of a stretch.
Why have quadcopters like taken off so much? Why four propellers? Like, why not three or two?
Well, from my experience, the gold standard is to have three coaxial blades or three coaxial rotors, because three gives you a triangle.
Yeah, it feels like that's the most stable form. I'm curious why four sort of stuck out.
So four is just, I guess, mathematically simpler. So if you don't articulate the blades themselves, so if the blades don't have any kind of controllability, so basically at that point, they're all just fixed.
Yep.
Some fixed pitch. They're essentially propellers. So if you have two propellers opposite to each other, you can... Oh, sorry, two pairs of propellers in a sort of plus sign, then you can take advantage of sort of the couplings of that.
Oh, so right.
You can adjust the speed of one by like up by 500 or like 50 RPM and it's opposite down by 50 RPM. And now you get a torque.
I get it. Yeah.
You know, cause one is now thrusting harder than the other.
It's gross.
It is gross. I'm sorry for that. So you get, but the interesting thing there is that the torque change by speeding one up by 50, let's say, and the other down by the same means that the torque added by the one is reduced by the other. And so there's no net torque on the whole vehicle, but there is a net thrust differential.
Got it.
So it makes an attitude torque is what they call it.
All right. Okay.
So now we've alienated every single solitary listener. No.
Well, all right. So let's do this. Let's fast forward a little bit. Yeah. We're 10 years down the road.
Okay.
It's 2025. Crap. That's crazy to even say.
I know.
What are drones being used for? What do they look like in our lives? What's like do we just see them flying around everywhere like gangbusters,
no.
Or is
no.
it just still like a hobbyist thing or what?
No, we don't. And I actually I really hate to say this cuz it really means just like sort of the death of the industry in a lot of ways, before it ever was born. No, we won't. The FAA has a very strict moratorium on commercial flight right now. That has not been going in a direction that indicates that they are moving towards regulating them in a way that would support commercial flight. And it really does get down to some of the sort of basic aspects of what the goal of this this topic was for the day, which is, and thank you for the segue, Charles.
Yeah.
There's a nasty little problem when you have a drone that has a camera on it, and that camera and that drone are able to identify other drones in the area. Which is possible. You can use computer vision and stereoscopics to identify other moving things that are not connected to the background.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a tower. It's not a billboard of a drone. It's an actual drone. And it moves relative to the way you move and all that. So we can have computer vision that can identify moving objects and use the identification information to convey to another navigation system that tells the navigation system to go move to here.
Okay.
And here is above the other drone, like physically directly above it. I'm waving my hands again, like you folks in Radio Land can see that. But imagine one pancake stacked on another pancake, and you're driving in the car, and you hit a really big speed bump, and the one pancake jumps like way off the other. That moment when they're separated in front of you, that's what I'm describing. Except that the one pancake would have like a string dangling down from it. So replace the pancakes with drones. And leave the string, and now you have one drone that is essentially dangling a string into the rotor plane of the other drone, fouling up the propellers, binding them with string, and then crashing that drone. So that's the whole goal of this thing.
So in real life, string is actually...
It is actually string, yes.
Oh, the string is real.
Yes, the string part is real, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The pancakes, though, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could use like a
pancakes are fake
trebuchet to launch pancakes at a drone, and that might be okay. Might be better.
But you're talking about one drone just screwing up another drone,
right?
And that's the thing, because they know where each other are, and people are mischievous, and you can screw with that. Yeah, I mean that's kind of it's because right now like the intent that people have when they fly a drone around is sort of just a question mark at this point, right? There's no clear purpose. Like, when I see someone driving a car down a road, I know that they want to get somewhere, yeah. right? Or they want to do something.
They don't likely have the nefarious purpose of taking you out.
Well, yeah, but even if you're flying a drone, right? Like, there could be a really good reason why you're flying a drone. Maybe you're doing geological survey. Maybe you're, like, studying birds. Maybe you're, like, who knows what the hell you're doing? But, you know, like, there are some purposes, but I don't know. I don't see many of them being clear and obvious, right? I think that's what makes a lot of people nervous is because, you know, like people commonly mount cameras on drones because it produces cool pictures.
It does.
And so the immediate thing that comes to everyone's mind, especially when you coupled with the thing I said earlier about the whole surveillance military thing, is that like, right. Oh, someone's doing something bad with this device. They're either spying or they are gonna, you know, be... you know, mischievous, right? Who knows what's going on with this
some
drone?
Dark purpose.
Yeah, and I guess part of why I asked you what the future looks like is because I'm curious if there are any real applications and sort of things that are going to come out of drone use that are, I don't know, that are interesting at all because, you know, like I hear these stories about Amazon fulfillment, right? I hear these stories about burritos being delivered wherever. I hear lots of stories, but... I don't know, a lot of them seem far-fetched, and a lot of them I can't really see having a ton of life.
Well, so, I mean, the shipping thing is an obvious no-brainer for shipping pickups, for shipping deliveries, last leg stuff. I mean, there's tons and tons of obvious use cases for that.
Mm-hmm.
Imaging, same thing. I mean, there's a lot of things that like the police use imaging for situational awareness. Search and rescue, there's a lot of great aspects of using unmanned vehicle systems, air vehicles specifically, for search and rescue. And just, there's a lot of really good things you can do with them.
Yeah. But, I could imagine like search parties, like having a lot of, you know, getting a lot of good use out of like a little squadron of drones. What do you call a group of drones? Is it like a flock? A flock?
I haven't really ever given that any thought. You'd think I would have.
Anyway, we'll come back to that.
We'll come back. Yeah. When you talk about the utility of a drone, as they stand now, the utility is largely people taking photos of their cats,
right,
from high above, so the cat can't see it. And it's just a little freaked out because of the sound, and it's just like. Looking around, but cats tend to just look around randomly and freak out for no reason anyway, so maybe there are invisible drones that they know about that we don't, and that's really what's going on. I doubt it, but you never know. So there's a recent ruling with the FAA where they are moving towards this. It was a publication that they did.
Mm-hmm.
They're considering an addendum to the existing law.
Okay.
The existing law very much says you are not allowed to operate your drone for money. You can't sell the services. You can't sell the pictures you take. Any of that stuff. You can't deliver something to someone else, say a taco, burrito, bag of weed. None of that. So you really are limited to hobby. There's one extra thing that says you have to operate within line of sight, meaning you have to see, you have to maintain visual contact with your flying vehicle, which is important. And you also can't fly within a certain radius of any airport. Government buildings aren't covered, but airports are. Government buildings may be covered by other things that aren't federal aviation regulations, just are sort of civil, I don't know, civil air patrol or something. I don't know. The point is that there isn't a lot of regulation on this because we haven't quite got there yet. So the big deal right now is if you fly a drone for hobby stuff, the new kind of direction that they're headed is they want you to fly it on your own airspace. So that means...
just right above your house.
Yeah, if you take a plan, like the visual top down look of your the land you own.
Mm-hmm. Which extends vertically up into outer space, right?
It does. You know? Well, although the legal space extends up to 400 feet above the ground.
Oh, really? There's a cap on it?
Yes. For hobby, everything is less than 400 feet.
Oh, interesting.
If you live in an apartment, your airspace is everyone else's airspace because you're stacked up.
Right. You have no airspace.
So you actually don't have any.
Right.
So you can't even consider the stuff that's outside your windows. I don't think, unless the thing is not moving. Like, you can put a baby cage out there. There used to be baby cages back in the 60s.
Yeah.
They would put a baby outside, like an air conditioner stuck outside your window. They would. It was. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. That really was a thing. People used to put their babies outside, like a window air conditioning unit to give them a little sun.
Let them air out.
Let them air out a little bit.
You got to air out those babies. Yeah. They actually smelled worse in the 60s, too. That's a known fact.
Mm.
So the days or the idea of going to like a public park and flying your drone around or meeting up with a whole murder of other drones.
Yes. Oh, there's a good one. A murder of drones.
Is not a reality that we can hope
for.
Well,
it is. I mean, we can always hold out hope, but the likelihood that will actually come to fruition is, I think, starting to look like it might be vanishingly small.
Okay.
Public parks, I think that's going to be okay. The key is risk, right? So where I wanted to go with this from the legal perspective was this one nasty little situation, which is if I have a drone and my drone is designed to take out your drone,
mm-hmm.
and you're flying your drone over a school, and I fly my drone over on top of yours and drop the string on it and it falls up the shit and it falls onto the school and hurts somebody or worse.
Who's responsible?
Who's responsible? Seems like it's me.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely not clear.
Man.
And so this is where it becomes
a weird problem
giant,
to have.
Well, yeah. I mean, don't fly your drone over a school, Charles.
I have no plans of...
And don't buy an attack drone, Aubrey. Duh. Like, yeah. No.
Quit screwing around with strings.
Right?
Yeah.
Get that pancake catapult going.
Yeah.
That has much more utility.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of... It's just such a strange problem to have. Because at a certain point, can't you just treat a drone like a projectile, right? Like, if I had a catapult, right, and I live next to a school...
He says all know.
And I just decide that I'm just going to catapult... whatever over at the school children.
Yeah.
Old soup can. No, that's painful.
That's terrible.
It'd be terrible. Those things are heavy and sharp. If I decide that I want to catapult pancakes.
Water balloons.
Okay, water balloons.
That's more fun.
At the school children all day long. Like, isn't that the same thing as like flying a thing over there by some other means and landing it on a child? Like, however accidental it is, like if I have a freaking catapult in my backyard and I'm shooting it off, like it's kind of still my responsibility if one of those things hits a neighboring child at a school. Like,
totally agree.
You can kind of think of a drone the same way, right? I don't know.
I would like to think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I have never owned a catapult other than maybe that potato cannon that I made in college, but
have you ever had one?
Ever fired that in my backyard? See, it's in my backyard. It's okay. I clearly understood the ethical and moral boundaries of a potato gun.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that much different to me.
It isn't.
Yeah. No. Have you remember those 3-person water balloon launchers? Did you have these?
Oh yeah. I didn't have shoes when I was a kid. All I had was those lovely socks.
With the big elastic bands, you know, and like you'd just be able to launch this thing, you know,
yeah.
Like those things
like
are
a Nerf.
Yeah.
Water balloon.
Like, that was a situation similar to what you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where suddenly a lot of dumb people have the power to affect people very far away.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we can look at analogs, but there are definitely situations out there where people have launched, maybe that's tongue-in-cheek, the wrong word, published products that they
mm-hmm.
had later, legally required to stop selling. Like lawn darts. Used to be when we were, I don't know, maybe 15, you could buy lawn darts. Huge, like, foot-long metal spear with fins on it.
Yeah.
And you go to the fucking store and you buy, a stack of lawn darts. And it's totally fine. They're basically just darts for, like, Andre the Giant.
Right.
So you could throw them at people. You could throw them at your dog, your neighbor's dog.
Why were they darts? And what was the advantage of having them in dart form?
Well, so the point of the lawn darts, some genius genius, I say in rock and roll quotes, engineer or game designer said, hey, this would be fun. Why don't we make a target and we can just roll it out on the lawn, and you, instead of standing 10 feet away from the dartboard and throwing it at the dartboard, you can do this in your backyard by like lobbing the dart up in the air and see how well you can get it to land on that target.
It was a game.
It was a game. Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't there some lawn darts that had like some chemical property that like had something to do with like fertilization or like lawn care?
I hope so.
Am I wrong?
Oh, please. Maybe. I hope you are not wrong.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
It sounds like an amazing idea. Fertilize your lawn from, let's say, a drone dropping random darts on
people. But what you're saying is lawn darts are no more.
They killed 30,000 people, and so somebody somewhere sued somebody, and they had to stop fucking making them.
Is this just in your home state of Florida, or is this outside?
I want to say that was actually... You know, it must have been the majority of deaths in Florida. But
I'm sorry, I don't mean to rip off.
No, there's really actually 35,000 total deaths related. It was the most killingest product ever.
It's just really easy to rip on Florida.
It is. I mean, Florida man is really kind of a dumbass.
He's a superhero. Anyway.
There's plenty, actually. There was I saw this in some web article last year or the year before about like the most murderous products out there that have been taken off the market, and lawn darts was the number one. It was like several tens of thousands of children have died because of lawn darts.
Wow.
So I wonder how long it will take before somebody's parent, after some asshole crashes their drone into a school or some other asshole causes said drone to crash, at what point is it just going to be made absolutely just illegal,
but right,
only for government and military use? And I think we're getting close. I hate to say it. I love them. I think they're amazing. I want them to get their act together and figure out the legislation so that we can have a registration system that allows people to do this. But, you know, they're way behind the curve. And frankly, the tech is just getting better. So by the time the FAA catches up to the current technology as of today,
mm-hmm,
to be able to regulate that and legislate effectively on that in the same similar way as we do for cars and trucks and motorcycles and boats and RVs and whatever, I think we're gonna have advanced so much further that they have no hope of ever catching up. And what that means is they're just gonna make it illegal, and I don't like that.
Yeah, that's not fun. That's not ideal.
It certainly doesn't inspire people to invent potato guns or pancake trebuchets to take out the drones, because now there's not going to be anything but birds in the sky, which is nice, but boring.
Yeah, old news. We've been hunting birds for years.
Yeah.
Drones promise new game.
Yeah. Actually, somebody in the thread that I saw this on Facebook the other day, somebody said, hey, I wonder if we can repurpose a drone to act like skeet. So, you know, you're shooting skeet, you have this launcher that like chucks some ceramic shit up in the air, and you try to shoot at it with a shotgun. It would be great to have a drone that like dodges.
Yeah, no, I can imagine like a, you know, heavily armored drone with some sort of target that it's holding or dangling beneath it on this string we keep talking about.
Yeah, let's hope not.
You know, that could be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that, yeah. We're just about out of time, sadly. but I think we kind of opened some doors, and hopefully we made you think a little more about this than, oh, look at my drone, I'm going to take a photo, which is great. I implore you to do that while you still can.
Yeah.
Because eventually they're going to make those selfie sticks illegal, too.
And, you know, just start thinking about home drone defense. I know I'm already working on the turret gun I'm mounting on my parents' roof. To be able to take these suckers down.
Yeah.
When they try to compromise my freedom.
I just want to know where you're going to come up with the pancakes. I mean,
you're just going to have to
make a machine that makes pancakes that feeds them at high rate of speed into this launcher.
And I'm going to need a lot of string.
Pancakes with string.
Yep.
And now some kid somewhere is going to make this thing for his science fair after listening to his dad listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope so.
Let's
hope someone's listening is what I meant to say. So anyway, for those of you who are listening, that'll do it for us for this week. So thanks for listening, folks.